It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are at the final broadcast day of June 2018. By the time we next speak, it will be July. It is the 29th day of June 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to participate in the merry, madcap, zany, wacky, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, presently occupied by folks who will welcome and greet you. Namely, Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and Man Cave and BT Blom. Also, capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has decided to exercise his mickle powers this evening and fold space to become Man Cave. More will be along later as the evening progresses. It's a Friday. The final broadcast of June 2018 takes place on a Friday. That means July will come in on a Sunday, July the 1st. That would have been good. Gracious sakes alive. That's 40, 50. It would have been my parents' 57th wedding anniversary this Sunday. If there's some sort of afterlife out there, I hope they will be celebrating it raucously and joyfully, or maybe their energies will just commingle, or, you know, wherever the candle flame goes when it goes out, that sort of thing. But that means we'll have a Friday the 13th in the month of July. In fact, isn't Julius Geezer going to have his performance review with sweet, lovable, cuddly, huggable Vlad Putiput on the 13th. Have I got that right? Yeah. Thanks for letting me know. Randy and PA, we're hot on both streams, both the White Rose Society stream and the HeadOn.live stream. That means we're live on TuneIn, Stitcher, FYI Nation, Roku. We're just live all over the place. So, goody. Like I said, Friday on the front porch, so that means in about 55 minutes or so, we will, Sparky will send out the breadcrumb trail for the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that takes place on this program. A little discussion, unlike anything else going on anywhere else. And the standard reminders apply. If you would like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch roundtable, well, it's easy enough done. All you got to do is use Skype, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and you will thereafter be shown the breadcrumb trail so that you can get to find your way over the river, through the woods, and into the old hollow tree where the, that's what we made the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable out of, is wood from hollowing out the old hollow tree. Right? Yep. And we'll talk about whatever's on anybody's mind. Or nobody's mind. Well, you get the idea. And so that's coming around in about 55 minutes or so. Okay? That sounds... Does that sound good? Good. I don't know where to begin. We've no subscribers to thank on the 29th of the month. Because there's no subscribers on the 29th of the month. I can tell you with much fanfare and delight that we met the Trash Fitz Walker Stand Challenge for the sixth consecutive month. We just snuck in under the wire last night. And so that's a good thing. That means this is fundraising free radio for at least one evening. And I cannot tell you what a relief that is. Because that provides a bonus, a month's end bonus. And thank you very kindly to Ralphs for that. Okay, so where to go this evening? It took him a while, rather a long while, but finally today, Geezer discussed us. Offered his condolences to the families whose worlds were shattered yesterday in Annapolis when a lawful gun owner became an awful gun owner. Let's see, what were the exact words? Yes, let's see. Journalists, like all Americans, should be free of the fear of violent attack while they do their job. Best wishes and regrets. Horrific, horrible thing. Thank you. I wish I was kidding. I wish that was a damn joke. It is not a damn joke. Did you notice the qualification there? Journalists, like all Americans, should be free of fear of violent attack while they do their job. Now, while they're not doing their job, I guess they can fear violent attack. The goddess of irony owns this punk. And she puts words in his mouth that for those, as the Bible puts it, who have ears to hear, will help them to realize what a walking monstrosity he is. Should be free of the fear of violent attack while they do their job. And then the best wishes and regrets. Best wishes? Best wishes? How the hell do you offer best wishes to dead people? Slaughtered people? Yeah, I'm kind of at a loss. And regrets. Don't forget the regrets, Bob. Well, I guess somebody told him not to say thoughts and prayers, because he said thoughts and prayers, in his incredibly tone-deaf tweet yesterday. So, oh well. Best wishes and regrets. Best wishes to your shattered families. This attack, as horrifying as any other, leaves its own legacy of agony. Journalists of long standing, veteran journalists, people who had documented their communities. Slain, murdered. And it turns out that the guy who did the shooting, a guy by the name of Jared Ramos, who is not dead, because he was white, so therefore he was not gunned down. Doubt if he was even tased. or pepper sprayed. But we now know that he used a shotgun. And he blasted his way into the newsroom of the Capitol Gazette. He made it impossible for people to escape, or tried to. And he had a history. Back about 6 years ago, he worked for the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics. He had a college degree in computer engineering. No, they didn't have to tase him or gas him or shoot him. After the attack, he was hiding under a desk. He's been charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder. He's been denied bail, which is appropriate in a murder situation. Like I said, he barricaded the back door so people couldn't flee. And yes, he used a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, which he had purchased quite legally, thank you, a year ago. Despite the fact that the reason he targeted the Capitol Gazette in Maryland was because years back, they wrote a story about him threatening and stalking a woman, a former high school classmate, making any number of threats against her, and going so far as to contact her employer, tell the employer that she was a drunk and mentally ill, and getting her fired. The woman in question went so far as to tell people, to tell police, that the man was dangerous and exhibited the characteristics of a mass shooter. So when the Capitol Gazette published a story about the case, the legal case, the criminal case, he sued them for defamation. And the suit got bounced because the court said that he couldn't prove that anyone or that any statement made by the paper was false. You know, because it wasn't. He started threatening the Capitol Gazette and its staff as far back as 5 years ago, 2013. The publisher said he was nervous and worried that he would try to hurt somebody. And so yesterday, John McNamara, Rebecca Smith, Wendy Winters, Gerald Fishman, and Rob Hyacin all paid the price for the ease with which he was able to purchase a firearm. It is sickening and heartbreaking. You may recognize the name Hyacin. Rob Hyacin was the brother of a relatively famous South Florida journalist and author, Carl Hyacin. But today we did learn that he was a lawful gun owner. Because, of course, you can be a lawful gun owner, and it takes a split second, a hair, a scintillurus, to go from lawful gun owner to awful gun owner. And, well, we can't, ain't no ways we can ever figure out who's going to be one of them. Well, of course not, because we don't even try. You know, the military, if you enlist in the military, remember, we've got an all-volunteer military now. If you sign up, they'll put you through a physical. And they'll make sure that you're not too sick to be a soldier or a sailor or an airman or a marine. Or a coast guarder. And along the way, they'll also put you through a battery of psychological tests to make sure that you're not crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon party. Because the military recognizes that at some point in time, they're going to put a gun in your hands, and that it would not be wise to put a gun in the hands of someone who was not mentally stable. Now a few are going to fall through the cracks, and some have. A few are going to get through, but for the most part, no. But that's the kind of due diligence that one does if one wants to make sure that you're not going to hand a firearm to a maniac. Now, in this case, the murderer from Maryland had a long-running dispute and had displayed proclivities toward violence and threatening behavior. Law enforcement was aware of it. And still, no one in government could do a goddamn thing to keep him from getting a gun, because that would have given the National Rifle Association a sad. And then they would have fulminated all over the place and spread their putrid poison about how every American's got a right to defend himself in this here dangerous country. And that's how that goes. And so John McNamara, Rebecca Smith, Rob Hyason, Wendy Winters, and Gerald Fishman were sacrificed on the blood-soaked altar of the National Rifle Association. Because that's how it goes. And of course, best wishes and regrets. Oh, that's sickening. That's really disgusting. There was an expression yesterday evening of reality from a couple of the Capital Gazette employees discussing what had happened to them yesterday. A booker at CNN got hold of, among other people, Phil Davis and Celine Sanfelice, and the following exchange ensued.
People will forget about us after a week, unless, you know, we keep tweeting. I don't really care about tweeting right now. I honestly didn't even expect to be talking with Anderson Cooper today. I thought people would get like a Apple News notification and they would just blow it off, like what happens to everybody. I reported on Pulse when Pulse happened. I went to school in Florida, and I remember being so upset hearing about the victims who were texting their families. And there I was, sitting under a desk, texting my parents, telling them that I loved them. And I just don't know what I want right now, right? But I'm going to need more than a couple days of news coverage and some thoughts and prayers, because it's our whole lives have been shattered. And so thanks for your prayers, but I couldn't give a fuck about them if there's nothing else.
Truer words have never been spoken, because thoughts and prayers don't matter worth a tinker's damn when they're up against the millions, hundreds of millions, perhaps the billions that the National Rifle Association uses to pour poison into the ears of the people of the United States. There's really not a lot more to say beyond that. So I guess we will move on. And just like she said, we probably won't even be talking about this by next week. For all we know, we'll be talking about the next one, or the next one after that, or the next one after that. Because there will be a next one, and a next one after that, and a next one after that. Because this country is in the grips of a political party that is a wholly owned subsidiary of the National Rifle Association. And that's all there is to it. Some stuff we haven't mentioned lately. Or haven't gotten to. That deserve to be gotten to. Maybe you've already heard of this by now. If you have, good. Spread it around. Don't let this disappear. For the last several nights, off and on, we've been talking about the retirement of Anthony Kennedy from the court. Anthony Kennedy, swing voter. Anthony Kennedy, who, for the most part, voted with his fascist brethren, but every now and then would dig deep and find a reason to maybe support the constitutional rights of women to manage the workings of their own reproductive systems. That Anthony Kennedy. And we sort of wondered how somebody, knowing who Donald Trump is, knowing what a monster he is, knowing what a misanthrope and what a misbegotten freak he is, how a Supreme Court justice could hand someone like that another Supreme Court vacancy, another nomination. Well, I won't dare speak for you. I'll speak only for myself. Did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? Because I am. But the questions have been answered. Turns out that Justice Kennedy is kind of near and dear to Julius Geezer. Yeah. Reporting at the Financial Times, the following was disclosed. In an article about Deutsche Bank, among other things, funders of in the past, probably still, of mountaintop removal. Great folks, Deutsche Bank. Some of the appointments gave Deutsche, and this is just an excerpt from an article, some of the appointments gave Deutsche more clout in boardrooms and on the party circuit. Toby Cobb, formerly of Donaldson, Lufkin, and Jenrett, is the son of two U.S. ambassadors. Okay, big deal, you say. Right, big deal. It's the next sentence. Justin Kennedy, a trader who arrived from Goldman to become one of Mr. Trump's most trusted associates over a 12-year spell at Deutsche, is the son of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. The son of Anthony Kennedy was for at least 12 years the personal banker of Donald J. Trump. What do you think of that? How about that, sports fans? And that sort of exposes One of the problems inherent in the Supreme Court of the United States, no one, save for the entirely useless and practically meaningless impeachment clause in the Constitution, no one has oversight of the Supreme Court. When a Supreme Court justice decides to shit all over the rules of judicial ethics, no one can call that Supreme Court justice to account. Now, you may recall, for instance, that Elena Kagan recused herself from a number of cases because she had been involved with them on involved with the cases at least tangentially on the government side of the V. But you may also recall that Count Dicula used to go bird shooting when he wasn't shooting a donor in the face. Count Dicula used to go bird shooting with fat dead Tony Scalia before he was dead. And a howl of outrage was raised because it was an obvious and undeniable conflict of interest for Count Dicula to be out there swelling around and swanning about, well, maybe blasting swans for all we know, with a judge who was going to be actively involved in deciding a case that Count Dicula had before the Supreme Court. But because no one has any oversight over the Supreme Court, fat dead Tony Scalia, back before he was dead, said, "Fuck all y'all, I'm going to hear the case, and I'm going to decide it the way I think it should, by God, be decided." And this has been a long-standing problem with the Supreme Court, because they will gladly sit in judgment of other judges. For instance, just because this is where I live, I could draw your attention to the state of West Virginia's Supreme Court, where several years ago, Don Blankenship had a judgment against him for tens of millions of dollars because of some dirty dealings he had allegedly engaged in with regard to another coal company. Back in 2004, he waged a campaign based on a fraudulent concern about children's well-being. The name of the campaign and the organization was "And for the Sake of the Kids." He waged a campaign to get rid of an incumbent Supreme Court justice who he knew damned well would probably rule against him in that lawsuit in favor of the election of a guy nobody had ever heard of before, who had no judicial experience and about as much business on the bench of the Supreme Court of West Virginia as a hog does in a synagogue or a mosque. And he was successful, Blankenship was, and he got Brent Benjamin onto the court. And Brent Benjamin happily sat in judgment of his benefactor and said, "Gosh, we've got to overturn this here judgment against poor Don Blankenship." And the Supreme Court of the United States got hold of it and said, "What in the living hell do you think you're doing? This is such an obvious conflict of interest. This is such a howlingly egregious nightmare of jurisprudence." Because in addition, photos had emerged of Don swanning around the French Riviera with another member of the West Virginia Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of the United States said, "Get out! Come on, this is over the top. You're supposed to have, if you're a judge, you're supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety, even the appearance. And this appears really impropriate." dish. And they were right. But the thing is, when that appearance of impropriety crops up among the Supreme Court, it is entirely up to the justices of the Supreme Court to declare themselves ineligible to decide the case. And so, lo and behold, Anthony Kennedy, whose son had profited as a banker by the business of the guy in the White House, just conveniently forgot to tell anybody about that. And conveniently forgot to recuse himself from any cases dealing with edicts and pronouncements and executive orders generated by Donald J. Trump, in particular, the odious and disgusting Muslim ban. Let that then forever be the legacy of Anthony Kennedy. A man who kept mum about relationships that created an appearance of impropriety. Every now and then, we're reminded that there are flaws within the system. We kind of got a big reminder of that back in November of 2016. With for the second time in less than 20 years, installation of a guy who didn't win the election in the presidency by operation of a racist old anachronism in the Constitution, namely the Electoral College. But just as was the case with Count Dicula going bird hunting with fat dead Tony Scalia before he was dead, we are reminded, no, my reverb is not on, Flavio. We are reminded that there's absolutely nothing anybody can do to keep a dirty justice from doing dirty justice. And so we can add that to the list of stuff that will probably never be addressed, but really, really should be. There really should be some means of holding Supreme Court justices to account. But damn, by the time, if he, you know, whenever that time may be, by the time that Democrats get sufficient control of the reins of government, the list is going to be so long that probably 10% of it can't be addressed in the time between elections. No, there's no echo on either, Flavio. None at all. I just double-checked anything that could be doing that. Might be in your system, buddy. Let's see. Asa, Brother Deacon Asa, has a question. Uh, I heard somewhere that it's possible, and it's been talked about, adding two more Supreme Court justices. Could the Dems do that someday? Well, the fact of the matter is, the membership of the Supreme Court is not constitutionally fixed. In fact, the number is not even addressed in the Constitution. All the Constitution says is that there shall be a Supreme Court. It's had membership of 6, 7, 9, back to 7, back to 9. But Congress can, in fact, change the number of justices. And we're kind of reaching for anything that might provide us some degree of surcease of our sorrows as we watch the Supreme Court probably get ready to screw this country for a couple of more generations. They could put they could establish 20 Supreme Court justices, or 100, or 13. But that, of course, would require getting the bill through the House of Representatives, and more importantly, and more difficultly, through the Senate of the United States, where, remember, even if he's already dummied up the rules so that Democrats can't do anything to him, if it should happen that chinless Mitch McConnell winds up minority leader again, he will do to whoever the majority leader is exactly what he did to Harry Reid. The question is, will the majority leader allow that? My guess is yes. Because I'm, Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. Lee in New York says, it's not much, but a SCOTUS justice can be impeached. It's not been successful against presidents. Oh, yeah, they can be impeached. And they're not, but it's again, an almost insurmountable hurdle. That's why I said it's largely a dead letter and a meaningless passage where justices of the Supreme Court are concerned. Way, way, way back when, Gerald Ford, when he was a member of the House of Representatives, led a hard right-wing movement called Impeach Earl Warren, because Earl Warren was doing things like putting together majorities that would establish the right of a criminal defendant, for instance, to remain silent, that a criminal defendant could not be compelled to give testimony to the police against himself. The whole you have a right to the Miranda warnings, the Miranda case, that was the Warren Court. Asa wants to know, okay, well, if the overall issue of judicial ethics on the Supreme Court needs to be fixed, what would you recommend? Congressional oversight? No, 1,000 times no. It's a thorny issue, because arguably if somebody is sitting in judgment of the ethics of the Supreme Court, then the Supreme Court is not a final arbiter anymore. But if, on the other hand, the only jurisdiction they have is in regard to conflicts of interest and appearances of impropriety, then you might be able to protect the essential supremacy of the Supreme Court such that that panel would only act in cases of the appearance of impropriety or potential conflicts of interest. And you could create, you know, you don't have to amend the Constitution for that. You could create it. Through an act of Congress. I've seen some people, on our side, no less. Just as there are people on our side who think, you know what we need in Congress and the Senate, we need us some term limits. Bullshit. Not if you want to be involved in a democracy, you don't. Because the Supreme Courting, it doesn't require the physical stamina of, say, a professional football player or a professional basketball player or even a professional golfer. The law is more a matter of the mind than the body. But the smart ones who want to be there for a long time do take care of their bodies. To the best of their ability. I mean, the notorious RBG she's got a serious workout regimen, and you got to be working pretty hard to beat pancreatic cancer a couple of times, even with the best health care available on planet Earth. Beating pancreatic cancer is one of those rolling a nine on a 72-sided die kind of things. Steve in New York says the court, meaning the Supreme Court, is going to screw this country for generations. I think it's appropriate to say they will re-screw the country, given we will be going backwards. And I think Steve's right. My God. Wait till the Roberts Court, you know, led by John Roberts, who believes that racism is simply a myth. Give that guy a good whack at the 13th Amendment. And see what happens. Just think about that. Because remember, there's a caveat in the 13th Amendment. We think of the 13th Amendment as being the amendment which abolished slavery. But that's not, it's more than that. Because it's got some wiggle room in it. There are two sections to the 13th Amendment. Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. The weasel words are in Section 1. Except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. So let's say the House Freedom Caucus really gets the bit in their teeth. Let's say they decided they wanted to make how about illegal crossing of the U.S. border? Let's say they wanted to make that a felony, a federal crime. And let's say they provided only one penalty for it. Life imprisonment at hard labor. They could. And taking a look at the Senate, maybe the Senate would like that too. Who knows what's going to happen in 2018 and 2020? And then let's say something like that goes to the desk of Julius Geezer. And let's say that the maggots are out there clamoring for him to sign it. He'd sign it, wouldn't he? And so you would, for all intents and purposes, have a reinstitution of slavery, constitutionally acceptable via the punishment clause of the 13th Amendment. And you don't think for a minute that the Roberts Court would find life at hard labor for an illegal border crosser to be cruel and unusual punishment, do you? They have a hard time saying that executing someone who is so developmentally delayed that they can't understand the charges against them or what they're being punished for is cruel and unusual punishment. Because, and we've been through this before, it's not an either-or test. You don't lose on a cruel and unusual punishment claim if you prove that it's cruel, but that the punishment isn't unusual. You don't lose on a cruel and unusual claim if you prove that the crime is unusual, but not cruel. You got to prove them both. And in a country where fully 1% of the population is in prison already, there's nothing unusual about putting somebody in prison for crossing the border illegally. That's within Congress's purview. Is life at hard labor cruel and unusual? I don't think the Roberts Court would think so, do you? So, it's worth pondering. Steve in New York, who, remember, is a lawyer, although he's not offering legal advice, this is mere opinion. When I think of this government, especially the Supreme Court, what comes to mind is the scene in Animal Farm where a pig falling off of a ladder one night awakens all the other animals. It was after that the other animals noticed something was different about the rules, but they couldn't tell what. This is where the statement, all animals are equal, some animals are more equal than other animals, comes from. Well, I'm sorry, Larry, and thank you, by the way, Larry. You didn't have to jump in there, but thank you very kindly just the same. Larry says, Bob, I have to tell you, no shit, I'm really starting to get maggot anxiety seriously bad. Oh, and it was Larry who asked me earlier about what kind of oversight, and that wasn't ASIN. My bad. Credit where credit's due. You've got a right to have that kind of anxiety. I didn't sleep particularly well last night. Woke up about 4:30 or so, and had a spasm in my neck, and those things will wake you up. And once you've been asleep for a while and you wake up like that, it's kind of hard to get back to sleep. And the boss woke up too, so we just kind of sat there and enjoyed some quiet time. And I went ahead and got our morning coffee going. Her high octane and my decaf. No email about the decaf, damn it. And 6 o'clock rolled around, and, well, we turned on the morning conniption. And we were not disappointed. But, you know, the reason we turn on the news the minute the day begins is to find out if we're still here. Or if half the world is still here. Because there's no guarantee anymore with Geezer Disgustus out there. Because, you know, he's up at 4 o'clock in the morning, too. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and goes twooping. Just toddles in his little footy jammies over to the little president's room, takes his phone with him, and gets busy with his thumbs. So, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom. Um, but I am sort of committed to being a part of the what's referred to as the reality-based community. And the reality is that things look kind of dire right now. And when I did, and when they did start the morning conniption over there on MSNBC, bless his heart, poor clueless Joe, who lives in an America that exists primarily only between in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains, was talking about how all we got to do to stop this next appointment is hold all the Democrats together. And all Schumer's got to do is convince Joe Donnelly and Heidi Heitkamp and Claire McCaskill and Joe Manchin to vote the right way and just hold firm and bring in a couple of more Republicans, and they can stop it. Have you ever tried to remove Jell-O from a pan that hadn't quite set? Now, Jell-O, when it's done, when it's sufficiently cooled and done the chemical magic that makes it Jell-O, well, you can cut it into shapes and all kinds of stuff, and it will retain that shape for a reasonable period of time. But if it hasn't set up, well, it's not going to hold firm. In particular, where Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp are concerned, expecting them to hold firm is rather like expecting liquid Jell-O to have a form other than whatever it's poured out on and, you know, seek its level. Joe will always seek his level. And in fact, last night, even as we were talking, lo and behold, Joe and Heidi and Claire, and I think Joe Donnelly, were all being feted at the White House, being glad-handed by Donald Trump. And, well, I guess Joe just forgets that, and that's kind of surprising to me, that Trump's been sliming all over him. Just before the West Virginia primary, he went down to the Greenbrier and invited Patrick Pillpusher Morrissey and Evan Ain't Got a Job No More Jenkins to a Republican glad-handing event and talked about Joe Manchin till a fly wouldn't light on him. But Joe is eternally in search of, you know, balance. That's his favorite word, Joe's, balance. And then, as I mentioned toward the end of the program talking to Scott last night, but it bears repeating, then there's the Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins boogie. Because all the pampered and powdered panjandrums of the for-profit media are blathering on about how, well, all the Democrats have to do is get one of them and they've got it locked up tight. No. I don't understand what it is with the powdered and pampered panjandrums of the for-profit media. But they have no memory. They can't remember the number of times that Susan Collins has brayed about her uncertainty about a piece of Republican legislation and then voted for it right alongside every other weirdo in the Republican Party. What does it say in the Bible? Put not thy faith in princes? Is that the Bible? Well, we can translate that for the modern age. Put not thy faith in Republican moderates. Because in a state like Alaska, where Lisa Murkowski's from, they will string her up and burn her in effigy if she gets in the way of this Supreme Court appointment, and she won't be no senator no more. What's more interesting to me is the fact that there are other women Republicans in the Senate. One of them from West Virginia comes to mind, Shelley Moore Capito, this is a woman who laughed about the Freedom disaster, who laughed when more than 10,000 gallons of deadly poison dumped into the water supply of 300,000 people. She made jokes about it. So expecting her to stand up for the reproductive rights of her sisters, that's a, you know, no. That's just too much. Or then there's noted hog deballer Joni Ernst of Iowa. You really expect an Iowegian hog deballer to stand up for women's reproductive rights? Nope. Now that's just mean, Larry. Larry says, Bob, wouldn't it be a dream for Susan Collins when she retires to have a 3-hour radio show blasted everywhere? Oh, the pleasure and wisdom of her voice and her show would be so mind-tingling. Yeah, or not, you know? And by the way, we now know that, because Chinless Mitch has told us, that 2018 is definitely nothing like 2016, because 2016 was a presidential election year, and 2018 isn't a presidential election year, and so there's nothing to stop the president from appointing a Supreme Court justice, because not presidential election year. Never mind the various and sundry felonies that he is or may be under investigation for. Never mind that. Never mind the fact that he was illegitimately placed into the office of the presidency. Never mind that, too. And so I figured out that the McConnell rule is that no McConnell rules ever apply if McConnell decides that the McConnell rule doesn't apply. So I got out my frayed purple robe with the tattered appliqued moons and stars on it and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark Baby written on it in glow-in-the-dark paint, got out my trusty busted magic eight ball that always says answer hazy, ask again later, and I peered into the future. I looked specifically to the year 2020. And I saw, yea, verily, that in 2020, there will be another Supreme Court vacancy. It may even happen in January 2020, with the presidential election fully 11 months away. And as the fog dissipated and the mists cleared, and I saw that Supreme Court vacancy, I wasn't able to see who's going to make the vacancy, but I saw the Supreme Court vacancy. And lo, I did see Chinless Mitch McConnell, and I did see him declare that even though it was a presidential election year, a Supreme Court nomination confirmation hearing would be teed up as quickly as possible. And verily, I saw Chinless Mitch look straight unto the camera and declare, well, this is clearly not a McConnell rule situation. Because even though it's a presidential election year, like it was when I declared the McConnell rule back in 2016, there's obviously a distinction because orange is not the new black. And yea, verily, I did see the confirmation hearing take place, and I saw the Supreme Court justice. I couldn't see who it was, but it was a right wing maniac, carefully tended and propagated through the toxic soil of the Federalist Society, ascend unto the bench of the Supreme Court of the United States to create a 6-3 majority. Yea, verily. So, just kind of maybe jot that down. Might be worth remembering. And here we are at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Well, son of a gun, we're an hour into the program. That means it's time to open the doors of the old hollow tree and pull the chairs out around the extraordinary ordinary round table. Do let's. And if you want to be involved in the roundtable, well, it's easy enough. Send a contact request on Skype to SparkyDunk, SparkyDunk. You cannot contact me on Skype. I won't be able to get you into the group. But you can contact SparkyDunk and be part of this delightful little conversation that takes place at the end of every broadcast week here at the Horn. So let's take a break, get it going, and hopefully we will have a rousing conversation. It's my understanding that Billable Rick is in San Diego this evening, so we may not hear from him, but I think we'll have a merry band as we go along. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. And, well, I'm Bob Kincaid. Be right back.
I don't need
some very, very, very early Bob Marley there. Judge not. And here we are at it's time to go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Pocket coolers.
Pocket coolers?
Bucket.
Oh, bucket coolers. Yes, I see that.
My avatar.
So that's
me
what
me and the minion were working on yesterday.
So that's what makes the man cave bearable.
It helps, but it's not that bad of a day today. Tomorrow's going to be worse, and Sunday's going to be even worse.
What? Crossing into triple digits.
Yes. Plus, we got this infernal.
We've got some
help.
We've got our own version of hot coming. The high today, 91. Right now in the Fabulous Horn Studios, it's 85. 87 outside. We'll be in the low 90s pretty much all week next week, and for around here, that's hot.
Well, it's supposed to be 106 tomorrow, 108. So
but it's a dry 108, right?
Oh yeah, except for the frickin' wind. It's fire weather.
Hmm. See, we'll have a nice. Go ahead.
We found out all about last weekend in our area. There was a fire about 10 miles to the west of me. I could see the smoke billowing up, and then I found out there was a fire going on the other side of town, right where one of my best friends lived.
Well, that's
unable to get him on the phone, but I went.
That's nervous making.
They stopped the fire right on the other side of the road that goes into his house. Not his house, but his shop. He has a shop with an old Model A, 66 Chevy pickup, and a 57 Chevy pickup.
Wow.
He has a fifth wheel trailer there, but everything, he didn't lose anything from what I could see. He wasn't there today. And the shop next to him was saved, but everything north of him pretty much got scorched.
Oof. Well, it's going to be, our 90s will be sloppy, muggy, humid 90s.
And then what also happens when there's a fire, like, in the vicinity, PG&E turns the power off. When there's on a fire, they turn some of the power lines down in kind of a domino effect. Like 10 o'clock, I think it was Saturday night, not 10 o'clock, but early, but just before dark, we lost power and it didn't come back on until about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Oh, that's helpful.
It was all because fire uptown, they were shutting down power lines and stuff. And it affected us. Somehow. So, I don't look forward to any fires close to around my house because I got such a green patch. Little foothills off to the north could burn up. Wouldn't hurt me. But that's California in the summertime.
Well, I'm hoping the weekend. I mean, I guess it's technically the holiday weekend, isn't it? Are people getting
not really
like
the weekend? We got a holiday hump day.
Well, I know, but with it being a hump day in the middle of the week, are people getting like Monday off or something to make a long weekend, or is that because if it's after?
I haven't heard anything like that.
But I figure, and by the way, as far as a program note is concerned, depending, we had a suggestion the other night from Matt up in Humboldt that we have a front porch on Wednesday evening, which of course is the July the 4th. Any thoughts?
Nah,
I'm not doing anything. Hey,
Hey, Bob.
Rick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Rick. Didn't expect you. How you doing?
Ah, doing great. I've got my beautiful star here beside me. We're stuck in traffic heading down to San Diego. We're on the 5 freeway about north part of San Diego.
Anything in particular happening in San Diego tonight? Any aging rock stars at risk?
Yes, there are. There's about 4 female aging rock stars, not 5, known as the Go-Go's, who are playing tonight.
No Belinda Carlisle?
Yeah, Belinda Carlisle will be there. Yeah. Yeah, she'll be there. She'll be good.
How interesting that you would bring that up, because as we were driving up to D.C. last week, for some reason or another, my music player, my MP3 player on my phone that was connected into the Bluetooth system of the car, decided to play Belinda Carlisle.
Oh. Okay.
And it probably gives me away as, you know, no kind of real rock and roll fan or anything, but Agnes and I were talking about, you know, she had a gorgeous voice. And
yeah.
as compared to the sort of trite, breathy, sounds like they're 11-year-old living brat dolls that you get on the radio today. No
right.
comparison. No comparison.
No. No, there isn't. No. No. Yeah, the funny thing is we...
So which go... Wait, which Go-Go isn't going to be... Isn't going?
I think they're all going. I think they're all going to be there.
Oh, they're all going to be there.
I think so. I mean...
I thought you said 4 out of 5. Yeah.
No. I think I said there's going to be 4 aging rock stars, and then Star said there's actually 5 in the group, so they're going to be 5.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a missing Gon-Gon.
Who knows? You know, the way these groups are, they change as time goes by, especially if people die, you know? Oh, my goodness. I can see the beautiful Mormon Cathedral here in the distance near La Jolla. You're very close to where Mitt Romney has his car with, or his house with elevators for his car.
Oh, nice.
would that be La Jolla to the rest of us?
Yeah, well, yes, La Jolla, right. Yeah, wow. The J is a hoy.
Yeah, that's the hillbilly pronunciation, Rick.
The hoy is, or the La Jolla is.
Yeah, La Jolla.
La Jolla. Okay. Well, sort of like Sepulveda when I first moved out here. It's actually Sepulveda. I called it Sepulveda. People would look at me like, what are you talking about? what street are you talking about? What planet are you from?
Don't ever go to...
Iowa.
Not ever go to Georgia. Like, do not ever go to Georgia. Especially,
hey.
don't go to Atlanta. Well, no, you'll understand in a minute, Steve.
Okay.
Because the first time that you stop it...
How was the 1982 bubblegum doing, Steve?
It's went down to see the city, I suppose, Rick.
The first time that you stop at a gas station and tell some good old boy in Atlanta that you're looking for an address on Ponce de Leon, he'll look at you and go, what?
Is that near Peachtree?
It's commonly just referred to as Ponce, but if you have to refer to the whole thing, it's Ponce de Leon.
Ponce Leon.
Oh, Ponce de Leon. Oh, that's funny.
You being a Midwestern guy, you probably know the name of the Egyptian city down there in southern Illinois, right?
They pronounce it Cairo, not
Yeah,
Cairo.
It ain't no Cairo.
Right, it's Cairo. Cairo.
Or we can toddle east a little ways and find ourselves in Versailles, Kentucky.
Versailles, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Steve, in Georgia, isn't there a county called Houston?
I believe it is, but I don't believe it's pronounced like it's spelled.
Houston.
That's
Houston,
right.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to beg Rick, please don't kill Gina Shock. She's one of the Go-Go's original drummer. She's very talented, very pretty lady. Take it easy on her, man.
Well, actually, my
knowledge on her, you know.
You know, I must say my powers are seriously depleted because over the weekend I saw Alanis Morissette. She's still okay. I saw Robert Plant. He's still okay. I saw the Bangles. He's still okay. I saw Prince's band, The Revolution. They're still okay. Neil Young, he's still okay. So, yeah, we went to a festival in Pasadena, that Arroyo Seco festival that I mentioned a while back. It was great.
So is that your lady friend I hear you traveling with?
Yeah. Star, say hi.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Star, how are you?
Hi, Star. Welcome to the party.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in.
Good to be here.
Yeah, Star's a good sport. She's going along with it instead of listening to rock and roll music, right,
yeah,
Star?
That's quite the sacrifice, man. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah.
She may be a keeper, Rick. I don't know, man. It's up to you.
That's what people tell me. That's what people tell me. That's what my buddy Howard said, who moved back to Connecticut. So, yeah. So there you go. Star is a real angel. She's a hospice nurse.
Oh, man.
So she's got a very big heart.
Actually.
Oh, those are some great people.
Oh, man.
It's good work.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Yeah, hard work. She does it very well. And she really
heartbreaking work, too. I mean, it rips your guts out.
Like, you know what? I like what I do, and I meet a lot of interesting families. And
sure.
You know, take the good with the bad. And
well, if you put it in perspective, it's a cycle of life. You know, you're just there to make people comfortable on the way out, just like delivery nurse
I've
there to make somebody comfortable on the way in.
I've had them as 3 days up to 6 months, so
wow.
It just depends.
Yeah, she's taking care of a fellow who has AIDS right now, and I guess dementia.
And he had a stroke.
That's what happened to my friend I lost in 94. He had a stroke from the AZT.
Let me just jump in here and say, Star, thanks for what you're doing, and I'll pop out. Sincerely, you are an angel.
Thank you. I got into it 2 years before my husband passed because I knew I had to do something.
Yeah, she's very good at it, though. The people love her. They want her, you know. They ask for her instead of other hospice nurses. She's very, very nice lady, very compassionate, you know, easy to get along with, empathy. So,
yeah,
she's a great gal. We're very.
I work hard 3/12s, but most of the week. But then I play hard on the weekends with Rick and I go have fun.
Yeah, we saw Rod Stewart at the Hollywood Bowl Monday night. He sang a lot of his old stuff. It was great.
Well, you have to, just to keep your mental stability.
You got to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to have balance in life. Otherwise,
you'll go mad. You'll go mad.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Karen and I are probably going to go bowling tonight, you know, just get out of the house. You have to. You got to be active, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. That's good. How was your anniversary, Steve? Was it last week?
It was fantastic, Rick. I can't believe she's put up with me for 23 years. That woman deserves a medal, man.
Well,
good gosh. Yeah.
You beat me. I only made it to 22 years, so there you go. Yeah. You beat me.
Me and all my shenanigans awesome. And everything I pulled and good gosh. She definitely, that woman's a saint, and I just can't say enough good things about her.
Well, Star, I want to let you know that the greetings are rolling in from around the planet. Robert in Australia says, Star, g'day from Australia. So, and he wrote it in Australian dialect, so that's why I had to do that way, with my terrible Australian accent.
Nice.
Yes, Australia.
Yeah.
Right.
My nephew's from Australia.
Yes. Corey is his name.
Corey Taylor.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's interesting.
Yes.
He likes to race hell. He's a good kid, though. He's not a kid. He's about 27 now, Star, or something, or what?
Yeah, 27, 28.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. He was born in 88, so that would make
30. Wow. Okay. Yeah, his mom's Australian, and the dad is American, right, Star?
Yeah, his daddy's from here.
One of the Taylors, yeah. So.
Well, I can tell you after the recent discussion, I fired up Google Earth and took a long and longing wander over New Zealand. Sat there with the boss and talked to her, and she's like, "Screw it, let's go."
You're gonna start broadcasting from there, huh?
Well, you know, it got sorted out in order to be live at 6 p.m. here. I'd have to be up at 10 o'clock in the morning in New Zealand, so.
That's nothing. That's easy.
Yeah.
Right? Your show prep is different, but you just do some the night before, and then you watch the news in the morning and, you know, see what's current, and
you'd have a day at 10 o'clock. You'd have a day job instead of an evening job. That's a plus.
That is a plus. And you and Agnes could go out into the town then in the evening.
Well, but then it's a choice, you know. Do you want Wellington or Christchurch or Auckland? I mean, or Hobbiton.
I think I sent you a questionnaire that kind of narrows it down. It's like six questions, and once you answer, boom, you're in.
So would you just go there and overstay your visa, and they'd like welcome you with open arms, or how does that work?
A Laurel and Hardy handshake? I don't know. But I did check out the travel routes. My, okay. what a plane ride that is.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
The cheapest one was $1,513 one way.
Wow.
And how many days in the air, Bob?
And 38 hours.
Oh.
Wow.
Because
38 hours.
Don't go economy.
No, that'd be a lot of ground time.
Well, let's see. What is, well, let's see. I need to, I didn't even go deep enough in it to figure out which airport we were talking about. Let me see here. That's
22 hours from the west coast of Thailand.
Yeah, that's horrifying. It was Charleston to Houston, not Houston. It was Charleston to Houston, Houston to Sydney, and Sydney to Wellington.
Ah, okay.
Well, so you got to fly to Australia to get to New Zealand.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Long trip.
And again, $1,500 one way.
Well, that's all you need if you're going to move there, Bob. Just one way, right?
Yeah, but you got to go back and forth for the luggage.
Nah, just have it shipped to you. Just have it shipped to you. You know, a slow boat from China, or I guess a slow boat from, I don't know, Panama or whatever, you know?
That's funny. And at one time, you needed a sponsor. I don't know if it's still that away anymore or not. They may have changed it. But if so, I've got you covered, Bob. I've got some dear friends from New Zealand. So you're in, bro. In like Flynn.
But you know
That's
what would happen?
Great, Bob.
You know what would happen? I'd start pining for the hills. Hillbillies are not allowed to leave this place. We pine.
you're gonna be as bad as Tim from LA going to Canada.
What do you mean by that, Sparky?
Did Tim make it to Canada?
No.
He didn't go to Vancouver. I thought he was. I thought there was a big UU convention there.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard. But
oh, okay.
I haven't talked to him lately, but I know. Yeah. He has a hell of a time trying to get out of L.A.
Yeah, well...
Maybe when his parents are gone, he'll go.
Maybe, who knows? Yeah, well, you know, born in East L.A., you know, like Cheech and Chong, right?
Yeah, Tim's Angeleno through and through.
Born in East L.A. Huh?
I said Tim's Angeleno through and through.
Yes, he is, definitely, yeah. Yeah, he's like he's a native born Angeleno. I've only been here 33 years.
Well, I started something with the funny place names. Bill in Allentown just reminded us that a little north of Allentown, there's a community called New Tripoli. That would be New Tripoli.
Okay.
Steve, coming from Ohio, reminded me that, yes, Ohio is the home of Buena Vista and Rio Grande, and I will add in, because Gallipolis.
Oh, jeez.
and Laurel reminded me, don't forget the capital of South Dakota, Pierre.
Right.
Not, you know, P-I-E-R-R-E, Pierre.
Right, not Pierre, it's Pierre. I always called it Pierre, but I'm not a South Dakotan, so there you go.
Yeah, this is Irwin in Missouri. There's a, looks like Nevada.
Hey,
oh, or it's supposed to be, or it looks like Nevada, but it's Nevada.
Been there.
Been there.
Yeah, if you make a mistake,
there's also a Nevada. There's also a Nevada, Iowa, as well. They call it Nevada, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when I lived in Moscow, Idaho, it looks like Moscow, but they get upset. They get upset if you say Moscow because that sounds like Russia, so you don't say.
Right.
Don't say
right. Yeah, it's Moscow, right? Moscow.
Yeah, Moscow. Yeah.
Moscow, M-O-S-C-O, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have two ex-Vandal drum majors in my band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, one in like 70, sure. 76 through 78, and one from 2011, I think. So they're quite a way. That's the age spread in my band. And the oldest.
Wow.
Did you bring enough for the whole class? We did.
I don't know. We got a mute. We're not talking though.
We're working on mixing a demo just for, you know, promotional sake, and one cut. Me and Mrs. Jones turned out really well. And we did Viva Las Vegas right at the end of the session, and my voice gave out. So you'll have to clip that. But, you know, when you do a promo demo, you sample songs. You know, you don't put the whole song on because usually people listen for a minute or two.
Right.
You know, decide, you know, they'll get the feel for the band or they won't, you know.
Right. What's the name of your band, Clarity?
Brass Fire.
Brass Fire. Okay.
Yeah, two words.
So you obviously have a horn section then, I assume.
There's five horns and four rhythm.
Oh my God.
And then we have
that's
a
like
lady.
That's like the band Chicago.
And then we have a lady that she does some lead vocals, some harmonies, and then plays miscellaneous percussion. So there's 10 in the band.
So you're one of the vocalists, and what else? What do you play? You play guitar, or what do you do?
No, I play tenor and alto sax and flute.
Okay.
And sing about half the leads.
Okay.
So what do you got, a squirrel nut zipper kind of sound, Clarity, something like that, or?
We do a little bit of everything from Count Basie all the way up to Santana.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Is there any of this on the web? Can I hear it, or?
I think there's a couple videos on our Facebook page.
I'll look into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Brass Fire.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Well, that's the core. As Facebook tells me, we have a real solid following. Women between 35 and 54.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good demographic. I like looking at the ones in their 30s, but they don't take much interest in me.
Oh,
Now, Clarity, when you got to tear the check 10 different ways, is that often a problem, or you guys just let it roll off your back?
We rotate who takes the check because you don't you don't have to report for state income tax if it's under $600.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. So we do that.
Well done.
And we make about between a quarter and half again as much in tips. We have friends that go around and pass the tip jar around, and because they know, yeah, we don't make that much money for. Collectively about 1,000 hours.
Just because I'm a huge Santana fan, what do y'all do out of the Santana book?
Oh, we do the. Oh shit.
Black Magic Woman, I assume.
No. Oh shit.
Oye, como va?
No, we different band. We cover that. No, it's
Due to Django. I think it's called Django or something like that. D J A N G O.
Oh, let's see. It's 75. Smooth.
Great song.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And our guitar.
Yeah, Rob Thomas did a great job on vocals on that one for Santana, you know?
He does a flat picking style just like Carlos does for that tune. He's pretty versatile. Yeah, our band goes from 22 to 68.
Wow. Jeez.
So there's quite a spread.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then we do.
That's like Chicago.
Yeah,
we do Chicago. Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Okay. Earth, Wind, and Fire, probably.
No. We do. It's kind of a cover, but it's not really Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know what you think of it as? You know, with three or four vocals and all that stuff. It's more of an.
More like Fire, Wind, and Earth, right? It's like Fire, Wind, and Earth, isn't it?
Well, it's an instrumental cover. It's not a vocal chart. And then we do one by Robert Cray. The forecast calls for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we cover up. We do a Carpenter's medley that features our lead singer, and people, you know, they sing along with every damn song. You know, it's just it's kind of mellow, but we rock out too. You know, we rock out too.
Oh. Cool.
So it's a good variety, you know. It's hard to describe. You know, we're not a total funk band, we're not a swing band, we're not a blues band, but we do cover them all, you know.
That's good.
So if you don't like one tune, you know, just wait around, you'll hear something you like.
I heard the name Chicago and now I've got the opening to does anybody really know what time it is earwormed into my brain. Thanks for nothing, y'all.
We do that
25 or 6 to 4.
Nobody in the band can sing that high. So we don't cover that one. We do Smiling Phases. That's a really good tune. I didn't realize that Traffic had a hit on that too.
Traffic, really? Huh.
Yeah, they covered it.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of Traffic, do you play like the low spark of High Heel Boys or any Traffic songs or?
No, we don't. No, we really need an arranger to do stuff for us. My, the leader bought this, packet and he can download charts and print them out.
Oh, okay.
So he's got a program where he can change the keys on some of them, but sometimes changing the key, it just doesn't sound, you know, the range, then the voicings are off and stuff. So
okay.
Sometimes you just got to go with the live version. We're supposed to do You're Just Too Good Be True and surprise the manager at the Red Lion. We're playing next Saturday night. And she's a boomer, Yeah, she's a boomer like us. You know, likes the same stuff. She's Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. And oh, it's the other one she requested. We do Moon River.
Huh? You did Moon River, wow.
As an instrumental, yeah.
Ferg's been working on that vocal lately, as a matter of fact.
Love that song.
Andy Williams, my favorite, you know, version.
Yeah. Hey, how's Ferg's music coming along, Bob?
Fits and starts.
Okay.
The employment has interfered with his budding musical career.
Yeah, day jobs. They just don't want to work around you.
Well, that's why you practice a night and play at night, I guess, right? In other words, don't give up your day job.
That's what I did for years. I waited tables and to support my music habit and have medical benefits.
Right.
Because when all my older friends that get sick, you know, it's fun. Go fund me because none of them have health insurance.
Oh, geez.
Oregon's, you know, trying to insure everybody.
Oh, yes.
But they're having trouble getting revenue.
Sorry.
I mean, Kate Brown's on the right track, but, you know, they've got such a good anti-tax thing going around. She just passed a, you know, a sales tax, but you can't pass one in Oregon.
California has a proposition to get rid of the gas tax that was just enacted by the legislature and signed by the governor. And I wonder if that's going to pass or not. It's because we really need it for the infrastructure, because we can't plan on getting federal tax dollars because of the way Congress is these days, you know?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a tale of two worlds here, and probably is in California. When you live in a rural area and you're, you know, driving a lot more miles, believe it or not, mm-hmm. in some rural communities to, you know,
right.
shop and all these things, where in the city, you know, generally things are fairly close to you.
Unless it's Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, you know, that 10 or 15 cents a gallon makes a big difference in the family budget.
It does.
The people are on the margins. So I can understand, you know, that hits close to home for people that, you know, and they have sympathies for that. But I, you know, it's, to me, it's, we just don't have a proper way to get corporations to chip in their fair share. Whenever we get some corporate tax passed, it ends up falling on the upper middle class people that really aren't the big, you know, corporations, but they're the bulk of businesses, and the people at the top that are paying next to nothing in taxes because they have all these shelters and ways to, you know, bury their income, defer it or whatever. That's, you know, they say, oh, well, the corporate tax rate's too high. Well, it wouldn't be that high if, you know, they were collecting.
They got rid of all the loopholes.
Yeah. And the Tea Party have done a really good job of convincing people that Oregon, you know, is overtaxed, and yet we're like 37th or 38th in the United States, right down there with Mississippi as far as tax per capita.
Right. But you guys have no income tax, right? Don't you?
No, we have a state income tax.
We have
property tax, but there's no sales tax.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No sales tax on anything.
That's the way Montana is too. So.
Oh, that's no, right.
No sales tax here either. So.
Well, you know, sales tax is a very regressive type of tax, as is gas tax. That's why, you know, your lower middle income people have a lot, you know, hard time paying it, you know?
I pay more in sales tax than I do in state tax.
Yeah.
I paid $38 in state taxes last year as a retired person.
Mm. Wow.
Mm.
But I know I pay way more than that in sales tax, everything I buy at the grocery store. And when I go buy bird seed or whatever I buy. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the food's not taxed in California as long as it's not consumed on the premises.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's gas tax is what it is. At least they fix the main roads around here. They're in the process of fixing Antelope Boulevard going into town.
Well, it's also too bad.
I-5 has always been maintained well up here.
Yeah. In North State. Yeah, well, it needs to be. It's an interstate. You get federal highway funds for that one, you know?
Well, not so much. Caltrans spends a lot of money in that, too, I think.
And I don't know if you've noticed, the Koch brothers are really anti-transit. Well, I guess they're in the petroleum business. Why would they want people to get on a train? But they've been...
They're anti-mass transit, yeah.
Yeah, and they've been trying to stop a light rail from going from one side of Phoenix to the other. There's no rail service in Phoenix, and it's just sprawled out, you know. But they've done their best to, you know, paint this as, you know, being a boondoggle, and I'm you know, surprised that Portland got as far along as they did, you know. It took a long time, and there was definitely some resistance when they built the South Spur, you know, down to Clackamas. But now you can get, you know, from east side to west side, and eventually they're going to have something going over the river to Vancouver, too. But that makes a city a lot more livable. I don't know, Portland's a full-on city, as you know, people who haven't been there, it's a different thing. It's, you know, it's what San Francisco used to be, kind of, but it's really booming. And I don't know. Oh, I wanted to tell you, the Blues Festival starts Wednesday night.
Oh, that's right.
And, and you can listen to it. They stream it on KBOO .FM. Write that down, because there's a lot of good music for 4 days. Yeah, it's a great blues festival. If you ever, you know, I told you about it earlier this year, but
yeah, I remember you mentioned that on the program. Yeah.
Well, Clarity, circling back to your music, does Brass Fire have a booking agent?
No, we're working on that. We don't have the...
You need to get one, brother, because if you can get Union Scale, back when I was playing pro, it was $3,000 for a four-hour show. That was 40 minutes on, 20 minutes off per hour. And that was pretty good money, you know, just to have fun, you know. But, you know, you're right. There's no insurance or anything. It was just all cash up. That's it.
Well, and we're, you know, just about there, and there is an agent that's taking interest in us.
Nice. Well, if you can land one, I strongly suggest it.
But, you know, part of it is that demo that we, you know, that we're, you know, putting out.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. But the place we play will change through this one agency. So we've already established ourselves locally just from word of mouth. We're the only band that they book there without going through that agency.
Ah, okay.
So, problem is that we got four teachers, full-time teachers in the band. And, you know, if we can play even once a month, it's hard to get, you know, scheduling to do that and book. You know, some clubs want to book you at the last minute. We just can't do anything at the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine the band members, most of them have kids and stuff too, right? Families,
grandkids,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that can complicate things, obviously.
Yeah, we're only going to be so, you know, so good, but I, you know, I would, yeah, definitely like to step up something that we actually, you know, make what we're worth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I guess, as I've said before, the fact that I'm still playing and still working, and most everybody that I went to music school with, you know, are all retired, maybe playing two or three times a year.
Okay.
So I, you know, I feel at least, you know, I, as my, one of my bandmates said in Oakland, you know, always ready for New York. I'll be always ready to play in New York.
Well, you know, Orange County's not too bad either, because they have a lot of live music in Orange County, surprisingly. I never thought they did, but, you know, I always thought L.A. County is where it's at, but Orange County probably has more live music at, you know, bars and clubs than L.A. in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I've learned that from hanging out with Star, because we go and, you know, we got, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like...
yeah, go ahead, speak up, babe.
It's like... you know, it's Anaheim, California, where Disneyland is. The blues clubs there. There's a lot in Anaheim.
There's a House of Blues there,
yeah,
I know.
House of Blues, yeah. That's what I meant to say. So, and then we have all kind of restaurants that have live entertainment now. People come and eat, and they like to listen to music after they have dinner. On the coast, a lot of them up and down the coast from San Clemente to the Long Beach, actually,
yeah,
to
yeah.
Queen Mary.
Yeah, Dana Point and Newport Beach.
They
and...
even have a club on the Queen Mary, I've been told. I've never been there, but they have a great
Let's
club
see, I
there
think
as
this
well.
Is it. Is this the one? Let's see here. I'm trying to get the right freeway exit here.
1 second, 94.
94. Okay. Yeah, we're actually staying at this it's called Hacienda Vineyard. It's like a hacienda in like 20 miles east of San Diego.
B&B.
And like 95 acres. It's got like, you know, a swimming pool, it's got a vineyard on premises and like craft beer within like a half a mile away. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're staying in a room called the Wedgwood Room. They only have like maybe five or six rooms in this building. So, and that's my British tour guide, by the way, in case you hear her saying, take the interchange on the right.
Yeah, it's not me.
And, you know, and I've learned that in Britain, instead of having on-ramps, they call them slip roads, the roads you take to get to the freeway. Take the slip road on your right. Take,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I didn't know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I got tired of listening to the American accented, you know, Siri version of the person. Now she's telling me to keep left. So there you go.
This is the freeway I went on from my hotel to the.
Where'd you find that?
Yeah. What's that?
Where'd you find that at? Rick?
Online. Actually, it was a place that I was going to stay at, like maybe a year ago, and the rooms were all booked, so I couldn't get a room there. And so I heard about it, and it looked really cool. It's in a little town called Rancho San Diego. So it's like inland.
No, the British Gal app to.
Oh, that. You can actually change the, you can go into your phone settings and just change it. I could even change it to an Australian accent if I wanted to. So at some point, maybe I'll do that once I get tired of the Brit, so to speak.
Oh, I never had a smartphone, so I don't know all this shit.
I know. That's okay. You know, it's,
I don't travel around like you.
It's not that hard to solve for you.
Smartphones are a real amazing thing.
If I would have followed Siri yesterday, she would have dumped me in Lake Lanier. So she ain't always right, man.
No. That's right. You got to use your eyes.
I was trying to find a body shop. She had me on a lake road. Said, keep going straight. I'm like, to hell, I got a boat, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing with these traffic apps is they have a real... they have a real favoritism for freeways, even if the traffic is really bad on the freeway, you know? And so if you know the area better than your phone does, you can sometimes save time by just taking, you know, a different route. 94, right? So, yeah, so we'll probably get to the hotel in about how many minutes? What's our ETA there, Star?
508.
So we'll probably only be on for a little while longer. But so what is everybody else doing?
Awesome. I hope you have a good time, man. It sounds like a load of fun, man.
Sounds good.
Oh, we're going to have a blast. Yes. Yeah, we're going to have a blast. So
wish Karen and I are with you, man. We throw down.
Cool. Yeah, and we're actually going to the show with Canes because the only two seats left are like for handicapped folks.
You didn't. No way.
No, there were six handicapped. Okay. We got the two of the six. Yeah, so we're gonna walk in with Kane. So there you go.
I got a tin cup and sell pencils.
I got a story about the cane thing, thanks to my son-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
My son-in-law is all messed up, so he's gonna have a hearing before a judge so he can get Social Security disability.
Right.
And he needed to borrow canes from us because we had some canes that my parents had and stuff. One of them was a clear lighted cane. So he goes to court, and guess what?
What?
The judge is blind.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my
you.
God, that's like the judge at the Woody Guthrie song.
I was going to say that's straight out of Alice's Restaurant. Alice and it was another case of American blind justice.
yeah, those 24 8x10 glossies just didn't work with that blind judge.
With the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the pleasure of seeing him one night when Star had to work. I think it was a Friday night after work. In Beverly Hills, he's quite the storyteller.
No,
our Luguthrie.
On a Thursday night, because I work on Thursday. Oh,
okay, sorry, it's a Thursday night.
Yeah,
so,
Thursday.
Yeah. He played that whole song. It was very cool. So, oh my gosh! So the cane obviously didn't work for your son though in court.
No, obviously.
Well, at least you know what? At least he tried.
Yeah. Right.
But it had nothing to do with the way he's walked. He's got a messed up neck. He said surgery in his neck, and he said steel reinforcing frame put in his neck.
Wow.
Oh, the Peyton Manning thing.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
hopefully
not the right one to use, though.
His was just a result of a whiplash he got years ago in an accident.
Oh, jeez.
And he had one surgery, and the other first surgery had gone bad on him. So, he got, the VA did this last surgery on him.
Okay.
That's why he had to be in Reno, and that's why I had to babysit Grady the shop dog for 6 months.
Approved, or what's the status of that?
No, he's still jumping through hoops. When he was down here several weeks ago and we went to go to the pot shop, we had to go to the Social Security Administration, and we had all this pile of paperwork that the state had given him that had to be faxed from a Social Security office or copied, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And it hadn't sent in. He hasn't heard nothing back yet. But
that's a long process.
It's a long process. My sister's been trying for 2 years to get disability. She's a candida. She's very sick, and she has other health issues. She's had a heart attack, and heart problems. So it's not easy in the state of California, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and most recently she thought she was poisoned with strychnine or something by a roommate of hers.
A roommate's friend. That she's known 30 years, so she's going to believe her roommate, or the roommate's going to believe her friend that she's known for 30 years before she's known my sister only 6 years.
Really?
And really, the roommate is really out there. She stole her laptop, she stole her drugs, she stole her jewelry, and...
Prescription drugs.
Yeah, and she was only in her home, the only one in the house. And they have cameras, so my sister told her roommate, well, why don't you look at your camera instead of accusing the other people? You know, that's why we have cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the general idea. Right at the fork, okay. 94? 94, yeah. Toward La Mesa. Got it. Yeah.
Yes, I was. All right. I was just. Whoops, excuse me. I was just approved for disability just a little while ago. The best way is to go through a lawyer to have it done. Have them do all work for you. So.
That's the best way. A lawyer
he's had lawyers.
Oh, okay. It was a long process. It was about a year for me to get it, so it took a while.
Anyway.
Well, what they really count on, Irwin, is they count on people giving up. You know, that's why they deny the claim administratively at the start. And then, you know, then you got to file an appeal, and probably only 10, 20% of people file the appeal. And then sometimes they grant your request at the first administrative hearing. Sometimes they deny it, and then you can go ahead and file a lawsuit in district court if you lose the administrative appeal. They make it's a real rigmarole, and it's by design, you know?
Well, 1 year, that's quick, Irwin. You fast-tracked it. I've heard people waiting 3 to 4 years, but then they get back pay, you know, as long as you hang in there. But definitely a lawyer's the way to go, even if you got to give them a cut, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what we ended up having to do. Yep. So, yeah.
They know the ins and the outs, and they may even know the judges. I'm not saying that for sure. Rick could probably verify that, though.
And sometimes they even end up paying off the judges, as happened in Eastern Kentucky with a lawyer that my ex hired at the start of her Social Security stuff. And he got in some trouble with basically paying off an administrative law judge. And so he had to, tell her that he couldn't represent her anymore. But he made it sound like it was because her claim wasn't good. But it was because he was in ethical hot water. It was all over the news. It was he was the subject of congressional testimony. I think he was on a 60 Minutes program, at least, you know. One of those exposés, you know, basically a guy who's got a mill going on and is, you know, defrauding the government with false claims, that kind of thing, you know. So it's just as well that my ex got a new attorney and she was able to succeed in her claim. So.
Well, Rick, you could probably affirm this. You would be surprised of the fate on different cases, not just Social Security, but many different facets of law are settled at the bar. Over drinks, you know?
I believe it.
Yep.
I believe it. Yeah. Well, I'm being sued right now. I don't know if I told everybody the story. I had a very low-speed accident backing out of my driveway. I was going maybe 5 miles an hour, hit a guy that was racing down the street in a lift vehicle, probably 25, 30 miles an hour, some, like, 22-year-old kid, and... you know, no ambulance was called, no police was called. You know, it caused about $3,300 of property damage to his vehicle. You know, he was fine, but now he's like, you know, he got like 3 epidurals afterwards and, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 per epidural. You know, just enough to get up to the policy limits, you know.
His back, and his neck, he don't know which one hurts worse, you know.
Well, yeah, actually, Actually, he testified that all 10 of his fingers and all 10 of his toes, he lacked feeling in them, tinglies in them. But the independent medical examination by like a world-renowned orthopedic doctor related to a one of the top five NFL picks of the last season has basically said, look, this is not consistent, you know, with losing feeling, in all your extremities, because you'd be basically fucked up all up and down the back, right? Because a different nerve controls each finger, each toe and each finger.
Yeah, but all your nerves are in your fingers and your toes.
Well, that's true. That's true. So anyway, we're fighting it. I think we're going to win. His deposition was, I think it was a disaster from the way my attorney described it. He's going to send me the transcript. So
sounds like he was probably screaming, oh, my back, before you even touched him.
No, he wasn't. He was fine. He was fine. He had the presence of mind to ask for my current insurance information, which wasn't on me at the time. So I had to run back into my house and get the current information. So he was obviously, looking for a payday, I think.
I actually think it was a scam. I think he saw him backing up and he came up the street and this is a good one.
I think he sped up and lurched to the right to hit me, to have me hit him.
I don't know. Between the dead rock stars and the people you're running over, Rick, I wouldn't sell your power short, pal.
You never know.
Rick, you're not supposed to leave home without an insurance card.
I had a two-week-old one in my wallet.
Yeah, it was the same insurance.
It was the same insurance, but it was just, it was like the end of the policy period was like October or September 30th, and the accident occurred like October 11th or 16th or something like that.
Does California not recognize an electronic proof of insurance?
Yes, they do. Yeah, if you have a cop on the scene.
Which way?
Because it seems
where?
Like the only
in, oh, point of your mile.
The only times I
did
ever
you get a police report.
What's that?
Did you get a police report?
No police report. Nothing. Oh. I called my insurance company, reported it. What I did is I have some really good pictures, and I have a picture after the accident of the side of his car that got hit. Okay. The passengers, the right side got hit, and I have a picture through tinted windows of a gentleman who apparently was the Lyft passenger who was in the back seat, actually closest to the zone of the impact, right? Sitting on the right-hand side rear passenger seat. And he was looking at his cell phone, and he didn't seem to be just in distress at all. So we're going to actually try to subpoena him and find that guy to get his recollection of the accident, because it was a real nothing burger. The guy's trying to get like 50 grand,
Wow.
So it's a total farce. It's a total fraud. The guy is just trying for an easy payday. And, it really pisses me off because people like that jack everybody else's rates up when they make phony claims.
Absolutely.
People like that think everyone owes them a living.
That's true.
They're too lazy to earn their own dollar.
Yeah.
When it goes into subrogation, it could drag on and on and on, too. So
exactly.
Be prepared for that,
It's BS.
Well, I don't know. I think this is going to be a pretty quick thing because this guy enlisted in the Marines. He looks like he's in shape. He's young, like 23 years old, like 6'1". He went through Marine training, and apparently I don't know why he didn't get through Marine training, but that was just about a month or two before the accident. So a jury is going to look at this guy and say, man, what are you doing here in court?
He probably was smoking weed.
No, I don't think he was.
He's probably coming after your insurance company, not you personally. Is that correct, Rick? Or...
Right.
Well, yeah, he is. But if the
Insurance cap goes than, right. Yep. Yeah. I got it. I'm.
If it's more than the policy limit, the
then it comes out of your end.
The policy limit's only $50,000, so
right.
You know, if the verdict is for more than that, which I don't see how it will. I messed your phone up there. I don't see how it will. I would have to pay for it possibly.
Right.
But I'm confident that there was no
I wouldn't sweat it.
No legitimate injury on his part. And, you know, I mean, the attorney has already poked holes in the in his deposition testimony. He did like a 5-hour deposition on this guy. And, you know, instead of the regular trial attorney being at the deposition, they sent some, like, you know, third or fourth year attorney in there, some young attorney who didn't know what the hell, you know, what I don't think she appreciated the significance of the testimony, the questions, that kind of thing. She wasn't familiar with the case. She wasn't familiar with the evidence, you know, and, you know, and basically what kind of, you know, injuries correlate with the symptoms he was saying he had. No, I haven't. I've arrived. Is
awesome.
This it?
Oh, yeah,
is this it?
Yeah, I guess.
Is it back here?
Yes, babe.
Oh, I don't know if we've arrived. I'm not confident. We'll see here.
Well, we'll see what this is. Yeah, you have, hon.
Yeah.
Look.
Well, it says we're here, but I don't trust it.
It looks like it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we're here. We are indeed here.
Wow.
Okay,
you guys have a great time, man. Tear it up. Man.
Yeah, thanks. We're looking forward to it. It should be.
You guys have a great weekend, okay?
Yeah.
It was nice meeting you, Star.
Pleasure chatting with you, Star. Come back and hang out again sometime.
We will. I mean, we will.
Absolutely.
You don't need Rick. You can come back on your own, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know. See,
you
can always come to the office sometime, and
we
can do the Skype through from there, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know I'm joking, Rick. I love you, brother.
Oh,
I hope you have a
good
time, man. Yeah. Have a blast.
Thanks. Well, I'll give you guys a concert report. And,
nice.
Yeah, Neil Young was incredible. He played like one. He opened up with a 28-minute long song.
And don't kill Gina Shock, please. Leave the drummer alone.
We will definitely leave the drummer alone. I think so. My powers were used up pretty much after Petty's death. So
Save him for Ted.
Exactly. Uncle Ted or whatever. Yeah.
Have a good time, y'all.
All right. Bye. You guys take care.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Later, Rick and Star.
All right.
I can't stand you.
See
you.
Have a good day.
You hear me?
No, what?
I can't stand Neil Young due to in-service listening, hearing thing that I had to go through from a guy down the hall who kept playing Neil Young music constantly.
Oh, it wasn't anything about the content. You just got burned out.
It just made me get sick of Neil Young, so it stick with me all my life. Every time I hear the word Neil Young, I think of that. Hey, good news. Hey, Bob.
Yes.
I got to talk to John Brivido today.
Oh yeah, how cool.
Through his voice app that they're using. It's a new program called Discord.
Discord, D-I-S-C-O-R-D?
Yeah. It's a voice program that you can do, and it has a chat, and also his person. His son set it up for his group, Blue Dot Group, you know, because he does all the videos and stuff, and he's telling me, he says he's just amazed at what you do. He can do it for 30 hours. He can't even hold his thought for 30 minutes.
it It's a matter of what you get used to.
We got to relive a memory of Utapau because we were both stationed there once upon a time. He was stationed there when he was in the Navy. Worked on P-3 Orion, the subjacent planes. They had two or three of them there that flew out of Utapau to fly over the South China Sea and all that shit. And he's been giving you shout-outs at the end of his program.
Yeah, I heard that. That's really cool. And I had somebody reach out to me on Facebook saying John Bridavo sent me. And there's something screwed up about Facebook where you go and you look and then it's gone. And I go figure. No, he's awesome.
You cut out on me.
Oh, okay. I saw somebody show up, you know, saying John Bridavo sent me, and I went to okay the friend request, and then it was gone. Weird.
Okay. Well, I've been promoting your show on his Discord channel.
I was going to say, video. Go ahead. Go ahead. You there, Sparky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can anybody else hear me?
You went dark there for a minute.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you cut out for about 30 seconds, but you're back.
Your video that you made, not your video, but her did for the Malloy channel on the American Gulag. Have you seen that?
No. Nobody tells me these things.
Well, it came up on my Facebook feed. Hang on, I'll put a link in the chat.
I hate Facebook's algorithm. Well, in the meantime, I had one story. I mean, I got a lot of stories, but this one seemed to have a special relevance to me. Do we all remember back when Nimrata Haley, our ambassador to the United Nations, who's such a dim goddamn bulb, that she got punked by the morning zoo crew in Moscow into believing that she was talking to the president of Poland.
Right, whatever happened to that? It's like it never happened.
Right,
you know?
Well, that would be terrible. That would be mean to say that about the poor Nimrod was a goddamn Nimrod. So it just sort of sunk beneath the waves.
Wait, he's online.
But
could you imagine if Chelsea Clinton got punked like that? I mean, and she's not even in the political realm. It would be viral everywhere.
Right.
Man.
I mean, I think I spent something approaching 3 hours on that damn thing that night.
I remember.
Just
and
sort
I thought,
of,
man, this is really going to take off, and it just never went anywhere.
Well, because I guess it's deemed not cricket. I mean, it's kind of like I got a note. I got a note from Steve earlier when I was talking about, you know, getting up and watching Morning Conniption. I got a note from Steve, and he said, "Here I go again. I was watching Star Trek: The Next Generation the other night." So we've got our obligatory Star Trek reference out of the way. The crew of the Enterprise was trying to save a planet whose moon had fallen out of its orbit and was going to crash into the planet. The character Q, who I suspect you know, yes, of course, who, interestingly enough, showed up in... And I got to get back to my Breaking Bad watching. I'm stuck. But I noticed that the guy who played Q showed up in Breaking Bad. Is all-powerful. his suggestion to Geordi, the chief engineer, just change the physics of the universe to keep the moon from crashing into the planet. And having said that, and in regard to Joe Scarborough saying, well, you know, all Schumer has to do is keep those four mugwump Democrats from doing, you know, what comes natural to them and you know, screwing their party. Well, Steve just says, silly Joe Scarborough. And, you know, everybody kind of ignored the, I guess, you know, somebody out there in the land of the for-profit media just assumed that, well, you know, people get punked by the Moscow Morning Zoo crew all the time, right? Yeah, sure. Well, so there's this thing that happened, and this is going to involve me sharing some audio. It happened to Nimrata Haley, and now it's happened to no less than Donald J. Trump. Not kidding.
I know.
Anybody who is familiar with the Howard Stern show is familiar with the character Stuttering John. Well, he's got his own gig, and he decided he would prank call the president of the United States.
He was working for Stephanie not even a year ago, Bob.
Well,
they worked together for a few months.
He's apparently got his own gig. He's got his own podcast out, but you got to check this audio out.
Just
congratulations on everything. We're proud. Sir, your call is connected. Hi, Bob.
So, that's not me there saying hi, Bob, too. He's pretending to be Robert Menendez of New Jersey, a Democratic senator who recently beat a felony rap brought by the federal government. Okay? And so he went through functionary after functionary after functionary, telling them that he was various and sundry different named members of Bob Menendez's staff. At one point, he said, this is John Melendez. He gave his own name away. And then he said, this is John Sterling. John Sterling, of course, is the play-by-play guy for the New York Yankees. Then he called himself Sean Moore, combining Sean Connery and Roger Moore, all the while pretending to be a member of the staff of Bob Menendez of New Jersey. Well, apparently, got hold of the call and blew right past the Office of Legislative Affairs, who ordinarily handles that kind of stuff, and sent it to dear old dad-in-law, and this is what happened.
Hey, how are you? How are you? Congratulations on everything. We're proud of you. Congratulations. Great job. You went through a tough, tough situation, and I don't think a very fair situation, but congratulations.
Thank you so much, and, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. President, but obviously, my constituents are giving me a lot of beef about this immigration thing. I know that you did something really noble by, you know, by trying to, you know, get the kids back with their families, but I have to answer to them. What can I tell them that you're going to do, you know, moving forward?
So Bob, let me just tell you, I want to be able to take care of the situation every bit as much as anybody else at the top level. I'd like to do the larger solution rather than the smaller solution. You know, we do them, they're doing them step by step. I think we could do the whole thing. You know, I have a good relationship with the party. You have a good relationship with the party. And I think we could do a real immigration bill. We have to have security at the border. We have to have it. I mean, look, you got 60% of the country, they've got to have security at the border. And that's a good issue for the Democrats too, Bob. It's not like it's good for you or good for me. It's good for both of us. People are tired of the problems.
No, I understand that. But,
go ahead.
No, but I am Hispanic, so I have to, you know, I'm sure you on my end. I have to look into my people as well. You understand?
Now get this, okay? It's not just that he called. He called and called and called, and you know, went through various levels of the bureaucracy. Donald Trump called him back from a board Air Force One. And the real kicker here is that he congratulates him for beating the federal rap brought by, as a result of an FBI investigation, and tells him, of course, you were treated very unfairly.
Of course.
Why hasn't this gone viral?
The story I'm looking at was published at 4:27 p.m. this afternoon.
So give it time.
I saw it on my Facebook feed through somebody.
I mean, this is breathtaking. And what if somebody calls him up and says, "Sir, this is Central Air Defense Command. The Ruskies have just launched on us, sir."
Well, he'd jump real quick to launch the back, real fast.
Stutter John guess
who's here, Bob?
I'm sorry, what?
Guess who's here, Bob?
Who's here?
John Brivido.
Hey, John, welcome. I'm tickled to meet you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. I've been sitting here listening to you. I didn't want to jump in there, but... That's kind of the way it operates
around here.
Evidently, it wouldn't be hard for any of us to contact Air Force One. Shit, just give them a name. Make one up.
That makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits.
No shit. That's sad. Can you imagine anybody? Everybody says that same thing. Can you imagine Obama if he had done that? Oh my God. They would have took the football away from him.
Right. And now it's twice. It's his UN ambassador, and now him.
Well, what can you say about their security?
Well, the front end of it is it's funny.
Yeah, that's the front end of it. The bad end of it is just what you alluded to. What if somebody was serious to get through there, and gave him some bullshit on the phone while he's up in the air? And you know the way he thinks. He's just going to react. That's all he's going to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
That stuff it gets scary real quick.
It's nice to meet you, John. Thanks for joining in.
I'm just tickled that you even knew my name.
I love your stuff, man. I do.
I appreciate that. I've been trying ever since this shit happened. And I tell people it was my way to protest. I don't have, Texas is a big state to drive somewhere to hold a sign. So just turn on the camera.
I'm
spit
surprised.
My shit out.
Well, you're one of those people that I talk about when I try to explain, and I'm not talking down or anything, John, but when I try to explain that there's a big damn difference between being liberal in a liberal state and being liberal behind what I call the cornpone curtain.
Yeah, you got to walk your shit down here. I'm telling you, and a lot of people are stuck though, Bob. I call myself a blue dot in Texas because Texas is considered a red state, but most of our cities are all blue. They're liberal cities. Our capital is the most liberal city we have, but you get out of the cities and out in the country, then just about everybody around you is they done drank the Kool-Aid. Especially in my little area right here where I live, I'm the only one on this street, baby. And they're well aware of my opinion. So.
But you're not as alone as it probably feels, are you, John? I mean, it looks like there's a groundswell building.
I'm totally surprised with the amount of people I've got. I've got over 10,000 followers now on Facebook, and that just amazed me right there. That even anybody was taking the time to listen to me, much less come back again and again. I think I'm over about 400 videos now, or getting close to it, or something like that. But if nothing else, Bob, I'm persistent, buddy. I'm going to be there every day until this asshole gets out, and I'll tell you what, I need a shave real bad. This beard is just getting out of control, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, you can always be a stunt double for one of the guys from ZZ Top.
Yeah, I'm working on that. It's silly. Every night I give away my little stuff here, but I have a little bowl of cereal every night, my Raisin Bran. I really like it. It's what I eat right before I go to bed. Well, nowadays I'm having to tuck my beard inside my T-shirt when I eat my cereal so the milk don't get all up in my beard. So.
And that's just going to keep going until Julius Geezer isn't in the White House anymore, right?
Until we run his butt out. And as far as I would love to see tar and feathers involved in this thing, but I know we're not going there anymore.
So do you...
John, you can trim up the ends of it.
Well, I keep thinking that...
He's got to prioritize, though, Duncan.
Let the rest catch up if you'll try.
Duncan's saying the same thing my wife is saying. You need to trim that.
not a whole lot. Just a little bit off the bottom. Just a tiny, teensy little bit. I have a ponytail. Now, if I can put the ponytail in my mouth, it's time to trim it a little bit.
Uh-oh. TMI, Sparky.
Well, now I can split this beard.
I'm retired IBEW electrician. I don't give a shit what people think.
There you go, buddy. I can take this beard now and split it right down the center and take it around the back of my neck and put a clip back there and it'll be out of the way.
What I want to know, John, is do you have a contingency plan for, I mean, is it just flat out Donald Trump's not president anymore? Or what happens if Mike Pence?
I'm not done yet. I'm not going to let that squeaky little thing get in there. No. He's, Trump is scary and has proved himself to be scary. Pence would be a little sneakier about it. You know, he has all the power of the religious right with him. You know, they could just eat him up, whereas Donald, they love him, but he's got his problems.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Holding him up anymore.
Yeah, if Trump's brains were gas, he wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run halfway around a BB.
No,
but the thing that's scary about Pence is the fact that he spent a considerable amount of time in the House of Representatives, so he actually knows how shit works.
Yes, he's dangerous. That's exactly. He knows how to do it and who to do it with. And that could be a dangerous combination. Though, once we get Donnie out, which I firmly believe is going to end up somewhere around money laundering, tax evasion, some kind of stuff like that, for nothing else. I don't know. You know, I'm under your opinion. Everybody keeps screaming there's no collusion. That Trump Tower meeting, that's it, baby. That's for me. There's your collusion. You keep trying to dodge that shit, but it keeps coming back.
Well, there's
a whole lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's even the, you know, there's an old rule they teach somewhere along the way that you don't, you know, you never strengthen a good argument with a weak argument, but a weak argument can always weaken a strong argument. But there's even little tiny shit, like the fact that he gets these briefing papers in the morning and or you know, bullet points or, you know, here's what you're going to do today. And those are all presidential records that are guarded and protected by federal law.
Yes.
And he tears them up and throws him in the garbage. That in and of itself is illegal.
That would be called obstruction, wouldn't it? When they go to investigate. It's just ridiculous. He has no, sense of morality. He doesn't have no integrity. There's nothing to him. He'll make shit up as he goes along. He doesn't care about the consequences of any action he takes. He'll try to put it under the carpet. He'll try to clean it up with any kind of slogan he can come up with. It's just lie, because he knows his base is not going to question that lie.
Well, exactly. And I mean, with the documents, and you've already done it, you know, apply the what if Barack Obama standard.
Oh, Lord.
If Barack Obama on the first day in office, I mean, he's just been sworn in. He's not got his feet under him or anything, and he doesn't know anything about being president, because nobody's ever been president when they walk into the Oval Office. And let's say on day one, he tears one of those documents up just like Donald Trump does and throws it in the garbage. Well, if
Mitch McConnell would be on the Senate floor screaming treason.
And the House of Representatives would have impaneled impeachment hearings about 15 minutes after the news broke.
Yes, they would have tried to cut his security clearances. He's not. You know, it's the same bullshit they did with Hillary, with the email shit with the server. You know, kind of crap. I'm sorry, I just dropped something. I had to pick it up.
Happens here all the time.
I have brain farts all the time nowadays. I swear I can't keep something in my head 5 minutes. I'm thinking something else.
Well, you're not.
It happens when you get in our age.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's an age thing, John. I'm a few years younger than you and Sparky, and I can't keep up. I mean, I begin any given program with upwards of 30 stories to hit.
Right. There's no lack of material there.
But you can't keep up.
Drink water out of a fire hose. You can't do it, man.
No, you're going to be overwhelmed with the shit that comes out. And this is only the shit that we talk about all the time that pisses everybody off. And that's not including all the minor shit that they're trying to sneak through Congress with nobody looking. You know, it's create a fire over here so nobody sees you doing what the hell you're doing over there. But every day of this administration is a fire. Somebody's got to put out some kind of shit he said, and now we're going to go meet with Putin. Lord have mercy.
What,
I wonder
John,
what,
and Bob,
lose something there.
How can we keep this son of a bitch from appointing the next SCOTUS? There has to be a way, especially when you have all these conflicts of interest, when he could be under criminal indictment, and if it gets escalated to the Supreme Court.
He's picking his own damn judge. That's what he's doing.
Exactly. So
that's bullshit.
This got to be stopped. And Cory Booker was making the same point today.
And of course,
they were trying to shut him down. You know, Corker was trying to shut him down. We have got to figure out a way. If we got to start marching in the streets, you know, we have to do something. He cannot have the latitude to appoint another SCOTUS.
They are going to try to push this fast as they can, just as quick as they can. And it's just bullshit. Stand on their head. I don't give a shit what they do to block this crap.
And, Mr. John, why do you think Kennedy resigned so quickly? Do they have him with farm animals, pictures of him with farm animals or something?
You know, there's a good question right there. Why would all of a sudden he pick up and run now?
Right.
I think the Deutsche Bank angle explains that.
Doesn't his one of his relations work for Deutsche Bank?
His son was Donald Trump's personal banker, responsible for a $1 billion loan to Donald Trump at Deutsche Bank.
There's no collusion there, though. That's just made up shit. There's nothing there. Look the other way. That's what that shit is. You know.
Jump off the ship before it sinks.
I am holding on to that thought that if these stories hit out and we know about them, then Mueller knows a whole lot more than what we're privy to out here.
Well, among other things, Mueller recently got hold of. Let me see if I can find it here. Because it was actually pretty interesting. Please don't let. Oh, there it is. There it is. You remember Betsy DeVos's brother, Eric Prince?
Oh yeah, Eric Prince. Yeah, he's
well. Mueller's.
Oh, yeah,
got,
we know him.
Mueller's got his computer and his phones.
I saw that.
And remember, Eric Prince went into the Congress and behaved like a total shithead. I'm just sick of being here. Always a punk.
Yeah, like he knew something they didn't.
But the whole Seychelles meeting thing swirls around him.
Right. Money coming out of there.
Yeah, Donald Trump Jr. and Arab officials, government agents, whatever, who wanted to help him win the presidency. In a way, I kind of feel sorry for Bob Mueller, John, because he's got the same problem we have, only at much higher stakes. He's got a team, but they've got a. How do you sort out all the criminal horseshit?
And there's a ton of it. What was that he said? They was talking about Manafort they dug back 12 years on Manafort. Well, hell, if they dug back 12 years on him, you don't think they dug back 12 years on Donnie Boy? And you know what's been happening with his finances for the last, 15, 20 years? You know, he's wrapped up in shit. And it's going to come out.
I think Michelle, from the Correspondents Association dinner, I think she's right. He's probably brokered in the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. It's all for sale.
Put
a price on that shit.
I don't often have a lot of direct Texas commentary, though. Mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Why, sure. Go ahead.
First of all, any idea where, big state, where is Deer Park, Texas?
Deer Park's up by Houston, just north of Houston, I believe.
Okay. Since you follow the politics in your state, would you care to offer a précis on one Representative Briscoe Cain?
Briscoe Cain, you're going to catch me off guard here. I don't know who he is off guard. Offhand.
I've seen story. He looks like he's about 13.
Oh, that's helpful.
But he's a real nasty version of a white winged troll.
Oh, Lord. There's no shortage of them down here.
I know. I was going to say that narrows it down.
Yeah, no, that leaves it wide open down here.
Well, not too long back, I'm sure you're aware that Texas had its Democratic Party convention.
Yes, sir.
He snuck in.
Oh, Lord.
He snuck into the Texas Democratic Party convention, and he started handing out yard signs that said, "This home is a gun-free safe space."
Oh, Lord. He's one of them nut jobs.
Yeah, but then it turned out he also had a firearm tucked in his waistband.
Oh, well, now, ain't that something? Well, you know, just in case, you know, he has to stop, you know, running Mexicans from running in the door at the DNC, you know. So.
Well, you can open carry down there, right?
You can open carry down here. It's,
What about concealed, though? Can you concealed carry?
Oh, they're dropping the price on that. Gray Gabbett just the other day is lowering the price for the cost of getting a concealed license. So, yeah, they're pushing that shit. You know, get your gun down here. It's ridiculous. Yeah, the thought that they think that, you know, oh, well, if you're a Democrat, if you're a liberal, well, you're just anti-gun. I'd hate for somebody to make that mistake while they try to break into my house.
Well, see, that's the thing. This little jackass snuck in to the Democratic convention there in Texas, and he was not open carrying. He had it tucked in his waistband under his shirt.
Yeah, he's concealed. I don't think that was legal in there. I think that was a gun-free zone in there.
But I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, right? It's okay if you're a Republican?
Man, I'm telling you. They give us a bad name down here with that shit.
Let me ask you, what about Beto O'Rourke?
I love the guy. Now you done hit on a subject I absolutely love. If I wasn't even in Texas, I would support that guy. You know, Texas has got 254 counties, and some of them are bigger than several states put together. So this is a big state, and Beto O'Rourke has traveled. We watch him on Facebook all the time. He comes on there live. If he's stopping to get gas, if he's stopping to get a donut, he's always talking to the people. But he has visited every county. He's trying to reach out to as many people as he can. He does not take PAC money, and I couldn't be prouder of this guy. And
you video of you talking to Beto O'Rourke.
Yes, I've met him twice, and he's coming back down to Corpus here. Let me see, I think it's the 6th or 7th of July or something. I've got to check up on the 3rd of July. I got to go down there to meet with his crew that's stimulating up support down here. And then later on, he's going to be down here, and I'm going to be trying to get the camera on him again. I think he'll recognize me. He knows this beard. And I don't want to take a lot of credit, but I know he has had donations from some of our Blue Dot family members. And so that makes me real proud. And now tomorrow, Saturday here in Texas, in 27th District here, we have an election tomorrow. Blake Farenthal.
Oh my God, the special election fiasco.
That's right. Yeah, we had to get rid of Blake because, you know, Blake's like chasing the women and paying our money. He still owes us $84,000, and he ain't going to pay it. He don't give a shit.
That picture of him in the ducky footy pajamas is for the ages, John.
Oh, yes, it is. It's going to go down in infinity. We'll never get rid of that image, I swear. That was my congressman. Every time you see that picture, it's just an embarrassing thought that he was our congressman. He got swept in with the Tea Party movement out here when they gerrymandered the district here and they changed it. And I mean, I'm really upset about that because our district, you know, where Corpus Christi is, we're down here on the Gulf Coast. Well, hell, our district goes all the way up to Bastrop, up there by Austin. Are you shitting me? What do them people up in the center of Texas got anything in common with somebody down here on the Gulf Coast? You know.
Well, all the Republicans have in common with in your district is they want to make sure that the wrong colored folks and the people with vowels on the end of their names and Z's and things
don't run around
getting all uppity and having any voting power.
Yep, nope. That's exactly true. Because we do have a large Hispanic population around down here. And the 27th district used to stretch from Corpus going a little south down there, and it was heavily Democratic. So that's what the Republicans did. They gerrymandered it to dilute that vote, and it's worked ever since. And it's sad. The other day, Supreme Court. Shit, that's just bullshit. You know, some of these districts look like damn octopuses. Are you kidding me?
Well, and see, one of the more galling things out of the Supreme Court decision we got a few days back relating specifically to Texas's gerrymandering is the fact that Samuel Alito created a presumption of white innocence.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but white Republican legislatures cannot be presumed to act with racial bias now, thanks to this court.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we sure do see a whole lot of it for it not to exist. You know, it's pitiful. Eric Olguin is the guy that's running. I'm backing him in my district. And again, he's a lot like Beto O'Rourke. He's been out there, you know, shaking the hands and making the rounds all over the district. His opponents have not been around. They haven't around. Right now, we have the special election tomorrow, and then, we'll vote again in November. So whoever gets this seat will only be a congressman until November when we have the general election. But because it's a special election, it's pretty wide open. So there are more people on the ballot for this election than there normally would be.
Is it just jungle style Democrats and Republicans all shaking together?
Yep. That's just about what it is. We have a bunch of them running. So that's what I'm concerned about is the name getting, you know, diluted with everybody else that's going to be on the ballot. And Eric has really been pushing it. We've really been pushing him. But
don't y'all have a runoff provision?
Well, The special election, if there's a close match, there will be a runoff, I guess.
Somebody's got to get 50% to avoid the runoff, right?
Somebody's got to get over 50%, and I don't know what the rule is on the two that get closest, but because this is just an open rodeo style, come on in and dance. The primaries for the November election have already been done, and Eric Olguin has already won that primary for our district. So he will be up on the November election, even if he doesn't get elected tomorrow. But, you know, the old saying, the incumbent has the advantage, so whoever gets in.
Yeah, that'd be a nice leg up for him if he can do it.
Yes, yes. But, Yeah, he's running the other on the other side. A guy named Cloud is running, and he's running on the same old bullshit. Let's build a wall and grab your gun. You know, we ran one guy. I was real happy with myself. I was involved in actually pissing him off at a town hall meeting because he started to talk about, you know, his ideals, and this guy was talking about, well, he believes everybody in Texas ought to buy as many guns as they can and stock up on your ammunition and get ready. And I yelled out, get ready for what? Are you, you know, to shoot your fellow American? Is that what you're recommending? And that's basically, you know, some of the mindset of some of these people when they start that crap. Grab your gun, get ready. It's going to be, who are you going to shoot? Your neighbor down the street? You know, the store owner down there, your fellow American down the street? That's who you're going to shoot? This is bullshit.
Well, you know, you've got, you're infamously, like I said, big state, but you're infamously the home of Alex Jones.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
How much,
Alex.
How much influence does he wield in Texas politics?
Not much. He gets his shit from that InfoWars crap, plus he's got Donnie's ear, so he can brag about that shit. I have people that I know, I have family members that listen to that shit. I mean, you know, it gets rough sometimes down here in your personal life. When you feel the way we do, and we have our ideals and whatnot, how what we think, and the other side is in your family, and it gets rough that way. We have several preachers in our family. Anybody that listens to me knows my views on religion. There's 4,200 of them on this planet. Pick one, but you know I'm fine with that, but. What was that? I wore that T-shirt the other day, and it said there's 4,200 religions on this planet. Which one would you kill for? There's my problem.
Well, exactly, and the thing that always bothers me is that of those 4,200, once you've picked the one, you are, for all intents and purposes, an atheist as to the other 3,199.
Yep, you've turned your back on everything else. You've made your selection there, and if
That's a hell of a dice roll.
It's the right one.
Yeah, that's a hell of a dice roll for hoping for the harp and the halo.
Ain't that sad, I swear. Don't get me started on religion.
Can I interrupt for just one minute?
You started this, Sparky. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
I know I started it. But I want John to tell the story about the T-shirts.
About where I get my T-shirts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Yeah. Do tell that.
And how many people have sent you T-shirts?
Oh Lord, I started out this thing. And now I'm nobody. I work around the house. So when I went to go turn on my camera, I just wear my T-shirt, my cowboy hat. A lot of people gripe about the cowboy hat, but it's been mine for as long as I can remember. I've worn one, and that's who I am. And it fools a lot of Republicans. Oh, look there. He must be a redneck. We'll go talk to him. How you like Trump? Oh boy, how the shit they just opened the door. Anyway, I would just wear T-shirts. My favorites were Woodstock T-shirts or the Grateful Dead or something. Anyway, I'd done run through all my T-shirts by this one video, and I just told him, buddy, if you want me to wear a T-shirt, send me a T-shirt. Send me a T-shirt, and I'll call you out on the show. Well, we are up to about 130, 140 T-shirts. I haven't counted them lately, but, yeah, we're still receiving them, and some of them are doozies. And I wear them town, baby. I love to wear them down when I go to pick up hay for my donkey and walk into the feed store down there, because that's a right place to get into a conversation.
Oh, you know it's got to be.
Oh,
you're telling me people. Do people not understand that it's not particularly good for a human being's health to challenge a Texan about his damn hat?
That's right, baby. Don't do that shit. You know, I can't explain. Somebody asked me what it is about a hat, and I gave some an answer that was kind of, corny, if you want to call it. To me, the hat, I've worn it since I was young. It signifies to me honesty, and a man's word is what you say. You know, the old thing about a handshake, that you do the right thing. You know, always the good guy with the hat. That kind of mentality is what I feel when I wear that hat. And I don't know, sort of like the cape for Superman. If I didn't have it, everybody see my bald head, and then that's all I'd be thinking. Oh, look at that poor guy, ain't got no hair. You know, but Yeah.
Do you alternate? I mean, you're far enough south. It's probably a big black 4X beaver felt probably be a bit much down on the Gulf, wouldn't it?
I got one. I switch between felt and straw. Mostly it's straw because it's just damn well hot down here. But in the winter, when it gets down to low temperatures, you know, like down in the 50s, well, then, yeah, I got to whip out that felt hat. But I prefer my straw. It lets the air get in there and whatnot. But I keep the felt for dress occasions. Now, if you can imagine, me and Mama went to go see Bill Maher live. And we shuffled in there. We sat out in the lobby, had a drink and everything, finally shuffled on up front on the end of a row. And he must have looked at me 5 or 6 times. I was waiting for him to say something about the only guy in there with a cowboy hat on, you know, and thinking it must be a redneck Republican or something. But no, you'd be surprised at how many liberal people, how many, we're not all gun-toting idiots. You know, we're not all out, being ignorant. Like that guy at the shooting up here at the school that we had in Texas not long ago here, and that showed up with a Trump hat, waving the flag, carrying a gun. It screams ignorance. And unfortunately, a lot of people step up that kind of plate and give us a bad name. But I do my best to, do what you should do.
Well, if we're going to talk hat, we got to talk boots.
Oh, Lord, I got boots. But mine are steel-toed. Ain't that sad. I got a pair of nice boots that I wear weddings, funerals, I'll dig them boots out. Yeah, 99% of the time I have my old steel toes on. And,
you got a donkey after all.
That's right, buddy. You hit that donkey step on your toe, you're going to the doctor, buddy. It's just a natural thing. I've worked just about all my life, even working for the Army. I worked 16 years on helicopters. You have to wear steel-toed. I worked in the oil field. You have to wear steel-toed. So it's just natural. You don't want to get kicked by them things, though, because they do hurt. So,
Without a doubt.
John has just more than just a donkey.
How many pets
you got?
Oh, Lord, we got a donkey. She's my baby. That's my Jenny. And we have Boomer. He's the goat. And they live together. You can't hardly separate those two. And we have 4 dogs, 2 inside cats, and the number of outside cats varies daily. Depends on who shows up for breakfast and dinner. But and then I have my parrot, who I've had for a number of years, and he sits right over my shoulder and occasionally asks me if I want a margarita, but he hasn't learned how to make one yet, so it's a...
Fine parrot.
That is a good parrot.
What's the parrot's name?
His name is Fred. I inherited the bird. This friend of ours, her mother owned the bird, and whenever we would go over to see her and visit over there, I'd play with the bird, fiddle around with him, talk to him, whatnot. He'd sit on my shoulder and whatnot. And unfortunately, when she passed away, she left me the bird. So. I've had him since...
That's better than saying she gave you the bird. I mean, you know.
Yeah. No, I inherited the bird. I was in the will, buddy. John gets the bird.
You know what? You remind me of... that all reminds me of an old Jimmy Buffett lyric. I can't remember which song it is, but there's a verse that says, "If I ever live to be an old man, I'm going to sail down to Martinique. I'm going to buy me a sweat-stained Bogart suit and an African parakeet. And I'm going to sit him on my shoulder and open up my trusty old rhymes. I'm going to teach him how to cuss and teach him how to fuss, and this is the important part, and pull the cork out of a bottle of wine."
There you go. What a good bird, buddy.
The name of that song is Mystery to Me. Yeah.
Mystery to Me. Yeah. I'm pretty parrot head. I'm not familiar with that one, but...
That's way old Buffett.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you're younger than me. I'm older. I'm probably, age thing, probably, Bob.
Well, you might have just put that on a brain cell that you mislaid somewhere.
I, My son hardly ever lets a birthday of mine go by without putting a pirate looks at 40 or son of a sailor, because that's what he is. He's the son of a sailor. And that's our song. Never lets a birthday go by without putting some Buffett on my timeline.
Your dad was a seafaring man?
Yes, sir. He spent 21 years in the Navy. I spent 10 in the Navy, and then I worked 16 years as a civilian for the Department of Defense on Army helicopters.
Well, that touches my heart. My dad was a World War II salt aboard an aircraft carrier down in the boiler room.
There you go, baby.
My uncle was a World War II carrier ace. So
there you go.
I have a great deal of admiration and respect for not just that branch of the military, but all branches. But warm place in my heart for the Navy. My uncle's wife just passed away, and she was buried with her husband up at Arlington last week. And when that corps of pallbearers dressed in World War II era
Navy, touch your heart.
I wasn't a dry eye.
Yeah. Anybody that's been to a military funeral, you know, it's always touching. We hate to lose a shipmate.
Yeah. You know? Well, let me ask you one more question on the way out the door, John, and let me thank you for coming by. I've enjoyed your work for a very long time. And
thank you for saying that. Really, I appreciate that, because I still am at that mode where I don't. Who am I? I'm nobody.
Who you are is damn good at what you do.
Thank you. We'll keep after it until we get his ass out.
Amen to that.
I just want to motivate as many people as I can and keep them motivated. We can't let this down. We can't back up.
Exactly.
You've had me laughing and kept my sanity for months, brother, and I appreciate you, and this has been a real treat.
I appreciate it.
Well, with all the gloom and doom that I do, somebody's got to make somebody laugh somewhere along the way.
You know, everybody, I keep telling myself, I ain't saying nothing funny. I'm telling the truth. But I get a lot of that, but I'm glad of it. I'm very happy with it. Like I said, it's you know, our reach goes worldwide. I'm proud to say we have fans that they send me things from everywhere, from England over to what's the name of that? Goose Island, Antarctica.
Holy mackerel!
I claim that as a prize. Who is down in Goose Island, Antarctica, listening to my shit? That just amazed the hell
out
of
me. Well, given that it's Antarctica, you're probably preserving their sanity.
I'm keeping somebody entertained down.
But we do have a semi-serious question on the way out the door.
America, we have all over the place.
Irish Dave wants to know, and I'm kind of presuming, going back to 2003 and the Texas 11, you know, the senators who headed to Albuquerque
redistricting. They're in the boat. Yes.
Well, you're gonna be having a redistricting here again in 2020.
Yes, sir.
Depending on the political makeup of the state, do you expect anything similar to happen?
If we have to fix this gerrymandering, that's the number one. And if that takes every push up in that house in Austin, they better do it. My hope is that we start turning this state a little more blue. The problem with Texas has always been one thing. It's a non-voting state, especially ever since they redistrict these things. A lot of people who lean Democrat, they just don't go vote, because what's the point? The district is heavily loaded with Republicans. And we have to get that mindset out of their head and get them to the polls. It does make a difference. Sure. And,
hey, can I get in a word in edgewise here before you check out Bob?
Absolutely.
I've been trying to get John on this group for 2 months.
Oh, don't say that, Duncan. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, it's not terrible. I persistence, you always get to the prize. I'm sure the Horn family has enjoyed every minute of tonight that you've been on this.
Well, now, I'll tell you what, Bob. Bob's a little intimidating. My wife, I told her, I said,
"Do I physically get a?"
Yes, sir.
You're a schmuck, man.
Do I officially get a producer hat tonight, a cowbell?
Oh, you damn sure do.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you brought in some talent.
There you go. Well, I don't know about talent, but I can keep this mouth going, and as long as there's good people to talk with, well, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Well, I sure would like to have somebody like you living in my neighborhood.
Well, I wish we were living down here in mine. It's sad to say the only guy that I talked to up and down this road that I live on, and he was a great guy. He was a Vietnam vet. He leaned liberal and kept most of his politics to himself, but sucker up and died on me here a few weeks ago.
Sorry to hear it.
It broke my heart.
There's a lot of us liberal Vietnam vets out there. Don't forget that.
There are, sir. We know.
Well, you're in a place that is near and dear to my heart. I've only been to Texas once in my life, and that was Waco and Austin. But the Gulf Coast of the United States is my idea of paradise.
Well, there you go. We're down here at the Texas Riviera. That's
well, and I grew up going down to the Redneck Riviera in L.A., you know, Lower Alabama.
Oh, there you go.
Lower Alabama.
That's right. I'm proud of Alabama here lately. We got some blue dots over here that just went crazy during that election time when old Roy Moore was up in there. And so we've got a lot of blue dots around.
You know, there are some doors open, John. Tennessee, I mean, your choice is a former governor running as a Democrat who's not a horrible human being, or a woman who is certifiably insane in Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah. I got onto her here recently after she passed that legislation to protect the drug dealers. Yeah. I don't like that lady.
Yeah, she's a piece of work. And then, like I said, you know, we talked about Beto O'Rourke. I wonder if Ted Cruz will debate him.
I doubt it. I really doubt it, but Beto would do it in a heartbeat.
Because, you know, Ted went to Harvard and everything, and he considers himself a master debater.
Yeah, he's a master something or another. He's a master debater or something. You know, he's jacking everybody around down here.
Well, I got a feeling Beto could have him for lunch or buy him for what he thinks he's worth and sell him for what he's worth and never count the loss.
Sir. And he ain't worth much, that guy. You know, that man has always put a thorn in my side ever since he got elected in here. And, especially after this damn election when he was so standing up to Donnie, you know, and then turns around and kisses his butt. Are you shitting me? You got no...
It does. It takes a special kind of lick spittle shit eater.
Yes, sir.
Especially as Texans go.
He's used to being at the wrong end of the cow, I'm telling you. He's used to that bullshit.
A Texan that will let a man talk shit on not only his daddy but his wife and then turn around and stick his head so far up the feller's ass that you can see his smiling face when he yawns.
Yep, I'm guarantee you, if anybody said anything about my wife, if I don't hate that sumbitch for the rest of my life, oh, shit, I'm in trouble, buddy. I'm not... No.
There's commandments involved south of the Mason-Dixie line, and one of them is don't talk about family, don't talk about mama, don't talk about daddy, and don't get after my wife.
That's right. You know, because we're not stupid. We know who holds the power. Hell, I'm not dumb in my marriage. I pick my battles. You know, we don't have many more. 41 years together. Hell, I think we're done with that shit. But
well, we just passed 20. We just passed 25.
If you love a woman, then you're gonna.
I damn sure know who's the boss. And
that's it. See, I don't. You know, she lets me make all the decisions. What's that old saying? I'm the boss, and I have my wife's permission to sell you that.
You're damn right. Well, John, it has been an absolute joy. And on the way, as we wrap things up, tell folks how, where, and when to find you.
Well, you can find me on Facebook all the time under my name, John Brittabeau, on YouTube under Blue Dot in Texas, and on Twitter at Blue Dot in Texas. I do a rant 3 days a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I used to do them every day, but buddy, that'll wear you out. And I went over a year doing them every day, but now I do them three times a week, and tune in and listen, and spread the word. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody. I just get out there and run my mouth. But the main thing is to keep people motivated and in marching in the same direction, because we have work to do. And mucho trabajo. Mucho trabajo.
Mucho indeed. Well, thank you again. And I look forward to checking in on Monday. And I want to thank everybody else in the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you, of course, always to Sparky for his moderation, and thanks to Irwin for jumping in. Thanks to Billable Rick and Star who popped by for a little bit. Thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you, Clarity, and thanks very kindly to John Britovo for wandering by. That was a delightful conversation. Thanks to all of y'all who share your precious finite time engaging in this little decade-plus-long conversation. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, of course, Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.